Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's me, your host and GM, Dylan, and we're back for part two of Scene Thieves. You know, the number of people who have messaged me since part one that they know, have met, or have worked with Bill Irwin is not insignificant, including the amazing designer of this game. But please remember, if you do know him or see him, tell him to be ready to fight me. Okay? Thanks. I don't have much more to say except Amelia Somm is also now on my list thanks to their ridiculous interpretation of the word prop. Enjoy the show! Oh, I love hotel bathroom flushers. They're so insane. How could something be
jet engine?
I'm kind of just saying nouns, right? I just have to have four nouns.
Sure.
That's like a sentence. My first one is like a sentence.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
All these examples, them are just nouns.
I fear I've been a little too esoteric with these, so I gotta rein it in.
I'm also
mine are just gonna be Lin-Manuel Miranda references, so
damn, that's good. Shit, that's strong. Fuck. I was gonna put a DVD of Moana in, but I decided against it.
And part of the play is just like a projector comes down and we all watched Moana.
It's the intermission. The intermission is us watching Moana.
They're patriotic. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of mine are like creative puzzles to try to figure these into both things. Yeah, fun little creative game for us all.
Okay, so we're gonna jump into the actual action itself. How this game is structured is that we have two acts to get through. In each act, each player will be in control of four scenes total, meaning we'll take two turns apiece. On our turn, we draw a prop. And with that prop, we craft a scene in the heist and a scene in the play in that order. You, as the person whose turn it is, gets to be the lead in that scene and you get to set the scene. But we can all jump in to either brainstorm things that happen or to play characters alongside you in that as it's happening. Then once we've all had two turns, Act 1 will end and Act 2 will begin. So I think we should just jump into the action here, but I need to actually roll a D16, I think. No.
Yeah.
You said there weren't dice.
It's not really. I'm fudging the numbers here a little bit.
I mean, if you didn't want to roll every time, because you could just make a random number generator, shuffle the numbers from 1 to 16, and that would also ensure we only do each thing once. Or you can roll dice because rolling dice is fun. But
it's fun.
Just want to put that out there.
The first prompt. So, okay, we have to decide who's going first. And that is decided by the prompt I asked earlier about who has been on a stage most recently. And I am so sorry, but I do think, Robin, you did say today because all the world's a stage.
Because all the world's a stage. Then tech by proxy, all of us.
Yeah, except the thing is, all the world's a stage and the men and women are merely players. I'm non-binary, so...
Yeah.
Same, though. This stuff.
We have a binary bitch in this car?
No, we do not. There's not
That's
a gender
true.
Inside.
There's you can't pull that.
I pulled it first.
There's no gender in sight.
Damn, that's true.
I did... Okay, so I have Robin. I have Robin, but then I did make you change your answer because I was being a bully.
So when were y'all's sessions at PAX?
Yeah, December. And then it would be me because I had that one on the last day.
I had that one on the last day, that's true.
Yep. So then it will be me. And the role that I made is for prompt number 10. Who has it? And
I have
it?
Prompt number 10. So none of my props are actually props. I hope that's okay.
Love that.
So for prop number 10, all of mine are references to something about Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Great.
And this is rhyming a word with itself.
That's so not what a prop is. Even you picked a verb.
None of these are props.
Great.
But I want you to incorporate it in the scene.
Tyler, I hope that you like how we've done with your game.
My favorite thing when playing a new game system is it being like, here are the rules. And I'm being like, what if I did something else? And no. That's okay. I can think of actual props, but.
No, this is great. This is great. I see no issues with it. Okay, so.
You're going to love the other ones.
Okay. All right. I'm clearing my mind. Mm-hmm. This is a heist. We're here to steal the still alive head of Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Still alive.
Who's in a box
head
seat at
of
the
Lin.
The fucking playhouse. Okay. The heist. I think it starts way before the play begins, obviously. It starts out on the cold digital cobblestone, which I think like these streets, very important to say, are not actual cobblestone. It's like a completely smooth paved city, but there is like there's like an AI generated hologram of cobblestone like over the street to make it look like an authentic New York City street. They also like hyper project like the garbage heaps onto the street corners and the urine onto the sidewalk. It's all very authentic.
They import the urine.
Yeah, they import it.
The rats are real though.
The rats are real and they're native to this new planet. So we're actually
that's just New York City, baby. New York City.
Inside of our tandem bicycle grid, I think like parked outside, we've got like a sort of encasement that we like are able to project over it. And our getaway guy, who I'm gonna say is Sinead, a sort of kind of badass looking grungy chick with lots and lots of heavy under eye eyeliner on, is our getaway guy. And she's front seat in the tandem bike grid. The prompt again is rhyming the word with itself.
Yeah.
Great.
You got it.
I know. I'll get there.
I believe in you.
She's gonna turn back to all of you, our heist partners, and say, all right, I don't want to be here a second longer than I have to. It smells like digital rain and shit out here. I want to be gone as quick as possible, and I want the head to be secure, and I don't want anybody behind me because I really don't feel like going on a wild goose chase after this. It's been a long day. Am I being heard?
Yeah.
Heard, Chef.
Yes,
oh, yeah, brother.
All right. So we're in and we're out. And we're going to get that head. And we're going to liberate it. So that we don't have to deal with this bullshit anymore. And it would be great, I guess, if we also won control of this planet. But that's not really that important to me. Do you know what it is, though? A coffee. A real coffee. Like, not a holographically generated coffee. Like, a real cup of Joe, you know? I would love to have one of those in my hand right now.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yes, Captain.
Do you want to get you one,
Chef? Thanks, gang. No. I see what's happening here. Okay.
You're face to face with greatness, and it's strange. Understand.
And we'll finally be able to afford a cup of Joe when we've got that head in our hands and we control everything from musical theater to the streets to non-musical theater.
And the streets.
Don't disappoint me. Get on in there and bring me the still alive head of Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yes, Captain.
Otis heads on in.
Do you know you know how sometimes improv is really fun because everybody supports you?
I don't know what you could possibly mean by that.
No, that's not a thing. Making that up.
Okay. I rhymed theater with theater. I did it.
You also rhymed coffee with coffee.
I did. You did. Thank you. God.
Okay, round two. Let's go.
Right. Round two.
Yeah, we're done. We're done now.
Now.
See.
Okay. All right. In the play, this is the opening scene of the play. As the audience fills in, and obviously I do think that Waldorf and Statler and the head of Lin-Manuel Miranda are brought in early before the rest of the audience filters in so that there can be no funny business. And obviously I do think that it's guarded behind the curtain and that there are some like cameras like peeking. So there is some severe security set up here. This is a beloved figure accompanied by two other beloved figures. So this is a very, very high profile booth that's going on here. But once everybody does settle in, the curtain, which I'm thinking isn't real, like isn't a physical curtain, but more or less a projection that like encases the stage and flickers away. To remind myself, our question is, do the ends justify the means? That and our play is Slut City. The curtain does dissipate, and it is a poor rendering of old New York City. There are buildings, there are skyscrapers, they're there. They're not in any sort of order. They don't in any way resemble what a New York City skyline has ever looked like. But they're there in the backdrop. And the music that plays has like a sort of, if Bob Fosse was chasing you in your nightmare, I think that's what this would sound like. It's like, just so everyone knows, Amelia's voguing in the
back. No, I'm doing the like, what is it, the egg wrist, but they're claws now because it's a nightmare.
Yeah, they're claws.
To Bob Fosse, Gwen Verdon.
And so the stage opens up to this backdrop of a wrong city, this sort of distorted Bob Fosse style music, and people, an assortment of people with an assortment of genders, all dressed kind of scantily clad in corsets and things, not on like fun bar stools like in the original, but instead they're going to be in like flashy streamer computer chairs, and they will be snapping and doing flicks of the wrists and little poses in sexy positions. And then one particular person will come out who is also corseted and fishnetted and has like sort of flashy nails and big flashy loud makeup on, and will come up to the front of the stage and say, "Thank you all for being here. I am so happy to have you. My name is Ferdinand, and I am so glad you could make it to our show. We are, of course, all sluts here in New York City. You are, we are, they are." Points back to the audience and back to the players on the stage, all of you. Comes up to one other player sitting in one of these chairs and reaches for a hand. "This lovely creature, for instance, biggest slut I ever met."
This one hand comes and very daintily takes your wrist.
Yeah.
As they do, one of the voices from Lin-Manuel Miranda's booth goes, "Their name's Ferdinand. I wish this would Ferdinand." The audience laughs.
Of course.
Ferdinand starts crying.
This hand takes yours, and then up kind of stands the most like modestly dressed person that you've ever seen. Like, big sweater, really long skirt that like touches the floor. One of those handmaiden tails, like things. And then as they go on the stage, there's this like, "What? But that doesn't, what? But they're not, they don't look, they don't not dress slutty." And then they like do a fun spin and then quick change, Velcro, all of their stuff comes off, and it's like this like high, like very sexy, like lingerie clothes as they all kind of spin around, and then the audience like, "They are a slut.
Do you see? You thought the wrong thing. And that's what happens when you expect the wrong thing. It's when you..."
Sounded good.
Big thumbs up here.
Damn, that's strong.
This is just like Hamilton.
"You can't make expectations. It's not going to match reality."
How does an immigrant slut?
I think this is a good time to flip a coin and figure out whether this is going to go well or good.
Well or good. Those are the only options with a scene set up like this.
Well or good.
Is it going to be? It's like when you're taking a survey for an organization and they won't let you give them a negative option. They're like, did you love this or kind of like it a lot?
I also fully forgot to roll to flip a coin for the heist. So we're doing that first. The heist, I'm going to tell you right now, was a failure.
Because nobody knows what we're doing. It's like we jumped on the planet and it's like, right, we're going to steal Lin-Manuel Miranda's head. Everyone's like, okay. Yes, Captain.
The play, however, is a success at the end of the scene.
Hey, so, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
did rhyme very technically. I want you to forget everything you think you know. All you know now is what we choose to show to you here in New York City. Us, the sluts, and you, different sluts. The audience cheers. They're clapping. But the heist is on rockier turn. Next in our lineup is Robin. Now,
okay.
So you, let's see. I'm gonna roll for your 14.
Shit, I got my weird one. Okay. do I have to say what it is now, or can I reveal it?
If you want to reveal it, reveal it. Yeah, go for it.
So, let's call him Arthur.
Okay.
This, like, young, scrappy, wearing like a Newsies cap and that
hungry.
Like, hungry. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. He has his notebook and he writes like he's running out of time. He opens the back door. He knows that he has to distract security. He's the scout. He makes his way over. He's sneaking around. He's ducking into wardrobe. Someone put down a bunch of coffees for the acts, and they kind of do that cool like heist spin where they pick up the coffees and then keep walking like, oh, it was them. Mm-hmm. So when people see them, they're like, oh, they're just delivering the coffees. They get to the security office. They see that security is like, this is a very important day for them, so they are like very attentive watching all the screens. Damn, Arthur thinks, I gotta pull one up on them. I gotta distract them somehow. So much like a kindergarten teacher or just like a teacher in school, rolls in like an old CRT TV with a DVD player in it,
mm-hmm.
and pulls out a slightly used DVD of the 2006 epic Big Mama's House 2, which was the prop that I had.
Right.
Did you specify that it was slightly used?
Yes, I did.
Okay, yeah. Good to know. It's not a fresh DVD.
No, it's not. Nothing's it's not well loved, but it is slightly used. So okay. It's used more than some of the other DVDs that they have in the shop. Yeah, slightly bit. You can tell that there are some scratch marks on it. Hey there, boys. Puts down the coffee. I got your coffees for you. And also, the big boss man upstairs wanted you to have some entertainment, as these are all adaptations. So you don't want to be watching the same adaptation of... What is... Is it Chicago. Old Chicago? New Chicago?
Old Chicago.
Old Chicago. You know what I mean? Watching the same adaptation of New Chicago. So we brought you some old 90s entertainment. Nope, 2006 entertainment. But on old Earth, the 90s ended in 2008. So we have this for you. Pushes in the DVD.
Yeah, I'm not really about the theater anyway. This is just a job. But so, I mean, I could be down for a movie.
I guess I'm just a little confused. If I haven't seen Big Mama's House 1, am I going to be lost if I watch Big Mama's House 2 with no context?
Big Mama's House 2 is more of a prequel to Big Mama's House 1, so you'll get all the context. And then it's actually a more fulfilling experience.
The first one, just, I don't want to miss it. Can you sit me down? Walk me through it?
A guy's an FBI agent and then has to pretend... to be like the owner of a house. It's been a while since I've seen it. And me, Robin, has never seen it. I just think the name Big Mama's House 2 is very good. I think that's the movie.
That's pretty much the plot. I've seen it a couple of times. I haven't seen the sequel, though. I didn't realize it was a prequel. That's pretty good.
Well, there you go. Anyway, this is for you, boys. You keep up the hard work straight from the big man himself.
Yeah, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this CRT TV in front of a wall, and then we're just going to stare at it instead of looking out back at the entryway that we're supposed to be seeing. I'll tell you that much.
Hell yeah. This movie requires your full attention.
I think we should flip our coin and see right. whether we fail or succeed. This one was a success. So yeah. I think that what you said stands. We're like, oh, yeah, it's movie time.
I fucking hate the theater.
Yeah.
Sick. I hate the theater.
I hate the plays. I don't like it when they're in the same space as me.
Yeah. Really makes it hard. There's like a rough place to live where the theater runs everything.
And if I need to go to the bathroom, I can't pause it. I don't like it.
No, that's wretched because you leave for like 4 minutes and like two people have died.
Two people have died. All the singing, the constant singing, the yelling, the belting. Hey, it's not for me.
Yeah, exactly. It's not for everyone.
The stage has changed completely. It's rough going out there. Hate it.
Anyway, I got you boys your coffees. I'll see you in exactly... Oh, damn, I should have had this up beforehand. I'll see you in approximately 1 hour, 36 minutes.
Time of the movie.
I'll see you then.
All right.
The runtime of Big Mama's House 2 is, in fact, how is this not easily accessible on IMDb? I think that's...
You can just Google it. Just Google movie name runtime. Big Mama's House 2 runtime. Amazing. 1 hour, 39 minutes. 99 minutes.
I was so close on a gut check. That's... I'm obsessed. I'll take that win.
Yeah.
Huge.
We used to have short movies back in the 90s-2006.
Yeah, 90s to 2006 specifically. So the theater portion
yes.
of the show.
Yeah.
My character, Guinevere,
mm-hmm.
comes back onto the stage, back in that like handmaiden style, big fluffy, you know, jumper in the like long skirt. She comes on the scene interior, sad. It's sounds of rain behind.
Mm-hmm.
Boxes are stacked and against a dusty old attic. She walks up, clearly been crying. I just can't believe my mother's gone. And this is the last of her stuff. So opens one of the boxes. On top is a DVD. Takes it up. Big Mama's House 2. It's the thing that I used to watch. It's good for me and you. Points to the crowd. She then goes on. I won't sing the whole song. It's very, like, it's a good kind of emotional, like, setting the scene opening yeah. number about how she used to watch Big Mama's House 2 with her. Big Mama in Big Mama's House.
Yeah.
This was the second one that I'm on board as well. So it's also, it's like, it's all kind of thematically, it kind of weaves its yeah. way and works with one another.
I think we see like a little like silhouette up here, like a spotlight shines on the wall in the back. And like you see like the image of like a Big Mama in a couch, like watching a television. And like Big yeah. Mama's House 2 is playing on the
with
TV
like a like younger yeah. Guinevere who's like watching and laughing together, and it's yeah, that's exactly it. It's so nice, and like they love each other clearly so much. And she sings this song to kind of like get everyone in the scene. This like, you know, this song about death and. When she and like, you know, moving on and all that, and how she's not over the death of her mother, the song ends. I can't believe it's been 2 months since you were mysteriously killed in that awful helicopter accident. I just wish there was something I could do other than, who knows, maybe watching this movie can make us feel a little closer. And then kind of puts on the movie and then the screen starts showing scenes of you know, Big Mom. As the, like, the not the reprise, but the second half of this song comes in as she sings more about this horrific helicopter accident where her mother died in it. And how mysterious it was. She really is like, it's just so weird that it happened because the helicopter was fine. And they checked several times. to the audience, to either boo-hoos or just boos.
We will find out. That is a success.
Damn, we're good at this.
Yep.
Not a dry eye in the house. Not even the Muppets can have anything to say about it.
They can't.
They're also sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to think that there's a really good play on words there with the phrase helicopter parent, just that works into that damn song.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty
that's
good.
That's real strong.
It's really upsetting,
really good,
actually. Mid-roll time, gang. If you missed the first ever live recording of The Atomless, I want to let you know that the recording is now live on The Atomless podcast feed. This was like a really great time, so I super appreciate anyone who came. I appreciate Breakout Con for having us, and I appreciate anyone who comes and listens to the show's recording. And please, 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 please do not forget to pre-order James's game, Oh Captain, My Captain. It is up for pre-sale now, and I'm going to put the link to both in the show notes below. Below? What is this, YouTube? I don't know why I said below. In the show notes. You know where that is. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors before we get back to the show. Mills, that'll be you. Up next.
Cool. Good. I was taking notes so I would remember where we were in the heist in the play because I was so worried I would
really
forget.
Okay. Your prompt is going to be prompt number 15.
15.
Another one from Robin? I think that's a Robin one.
That's not mine, so.
Oh, shit. That is 15?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You got a rubber chicken.
Great.
Okay, so in this heist, we have distracted the security guards. I assume we move past them. Were they guarding? Did we say what they were guarding, or are they just in the way?
They're like,
I think they're watching security cameras.
Right.
For me, is what I thought. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're watching security cameras. They're now watching the movie. Now, what we need to do is sort of lure the people. There is a doorway that leads to a lobby for like the mezzanine and the balcony seats where those boxes are. And you have to have tickets in order to be able to go up there because they're checking to make sure that people aren't trying to sneak in the areas they're not supposed to be, right? So Otis, who is my guy, decides we got to distract the person who's supposed to take the tickets. And I got a rubber chicken. So just kind of stand around the corner and just squeeze. Just a little chicken noise.
And nice. Then that's a good chicken.
I kind of peek the chicken's head around the corner and I squeeze it again and shake, trying to make eye contact as the rubber chicken with the person who's supposed to be taking tickets.
The person taking tickets is a real Diane. I think the sound of her chewing gum is like real loud.
Mm-hmm.
But this does catch her eye. She'll take a look.
It's another squeeze.
Can I help you?
Just another chicken squeeze.
Hang on. Robert, I gotta take 10, okay? I gotta check out that chicken over there. I don't think it has tickets. And she's gonna grab her clutch, grab her scarf, and she's gonna meander down to see. I'm sorry, if you don't have a ticket, you can't be down this hallway.
Okay. I think now would be a good time to flip.
Okay. This is a success.
Oh, okay. We are so good at this heist.
So I think she comes around the corner.
Uh-huh.
Sees big ol' Otis.
Uh-huh.
The rubber chicken. And I'm gonna take it, and this is gonna get a little violent. I apologize. But I'm just gonna do a sleeper hold with the chicken like it's movie chloroform.
And it works?
And it just slowly squeezes.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, whether or not it was movie chloroform was dependent on whether it succeeded, because otherwise Otis was just going to be like,
yeah,
holding someone and just go to sleep.
That's not. Oh, and she's going to be out. Poor Diane.
I take the little ticket scanner. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, brother. And I very gently like pull Diane around somewhere where she could be propped up against something to sit. And then I go and position myself, and now Otis is on stakeout.
Okay,
and
great.
And ushers the rest of the crew in.
Okay, great. Spectacular. Good. Now you're up for the play.
Oh, God. Okay, so let's see. We're all sluts here in New York City. We had the opening number. We had the flashback to the mysteriously killed in a helicopter accident where the helicopter was fine, but the mom was not.
Yeah.
Okay. We've set the scene. We've established intrigue. I guess now is time for romance.
I think so. Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, what's her lead's name?
Guinevere.
Guinevere. I think Guinevere finishes singing that emotionally heart-wrenching song and takes a little walk outside and thinks of a simpler time. And in my head, there's like a little like jaunty sort of piano tune intro that starts picking up. And she thinks about when she was just a kid, walking around the streets of New York City, looking for anything to do, just her and a rubber chicken. And
naturally,
when all you have is a rubber chicken, you'll find there's not a whole lot to do. But dance around the street and make it scream at the top of your lungs. And so she hums. And the chicken hums too. And it can be lonely when it's just a rubber toy in the street. But you never know who you're gonna meet. And it might just so happen that you'll find another fella, and that fella might have a rubber chicken too. Now there's two people in New York City. They're singing loud and it ain't pretty. But they're singing from their heart. And it doesn't quite matter how a romance ends. It matters what happens in the middle and how it starts.
Beautiful.
Before I flip this coin, who wants to be the other person with the other rubber chicken? Because I feel like we need to have a little meet cute, depending on how this scene.
Maybe
this
it's not a meet. It's
goes.
A meet ugly potentially. I'll be
It's a meet.
It matters how it starts. Yeah, I'm a man with a rubber chicken coming in from the other side of the stage.
Yeah.
I'm the man.
Haley?
It is a success.
Beautiful.
I kind of.
Oh, this was a tap
head,
number, by the way.
Head,
we were tap
there.
Dancing this whole time.
Oh, yeah. I assumed.
Yeah, I assumed it was a tap number.
We were all there. Great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I like to imagine they're doing like the taps and sings with a little squeeze of the rubber chicken because it's just making that honky noise the whole time.
Tap to tap, tap, pause.
They're also.
Hey, y'all. It's Tracy. We have a lot of fun here. The rubber chicken is a delight. I'm not doing that. They can handle it.
Thematically, there are like tiny rubber chickens on their tap shoes.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's like a tap number where they all have.
There's like a bunch of backup dancers tapping with the chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Again. It sounds awful.
But the audience.
It sounds completely dreadful.
Yeah,
it's so high
charmed.
Concept.
They love exactly.
This is an intellectual audience.
This is a mega musical. They came for big ideas.
Yeah,
big
that's it.
Feelings.
Big feelings here in Slut City.
In Slut City.
Oh. So am I still Guinevere then?
You can. So in.
Yeah.
So people can. We
anybody can be anybody.
If you want to be Guinevere and you want to be the guy, I will just narrate things in rhyme.
We have a narrator.
I don't know how this is gonna go, but
you can
this
do
is,
that too.
I've decided you this is entertaining for me.
Good.
Yeah, and also this, much like Slut City, this podcast is high concept.
Yes.
Where it's like you're gonna have to be with us as we do this.
Come with me. We're walking and we're Dad walking.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've done the number.
Yes.
Yeah.
We both have. The chickens. The tap dancers
chickens.
Have left. I think Guinevere, like, turns to this new suitor. Huh. I've never met anyone with a rubber chicken before.
I've never met anyone with a rubber chicken before.
Do you think... No.
Couldn't be.
My name... And I think they both say, oh, my name is... And they're like, oh.
No, you first.
My name is... Guinevere, when did you get this rubber chicken? Where did you get this rubber chicken?
I got this rubber chicken after my father died in a tragic accident.
No.
It's true.
This rubber chicken, this was my mother's.
No.
You're not going to believe it. Also died in a horrible accident.
No.
What? How did, if it's not too much to ask, how did your father die?
A cruise ship capsized.
That's... No. It can't be. My mother died in a helicopter accident, but it was... The helicopter accident, was it colliding with a cruise ship? You don't think it was... No. It couldn't be this... It couldn't be the same helicopter cruise ship accident that swept the papers last year, could it?
It must happen all the time. This would be quite the coincidence.
And coincidences, as we both know, don't happen in Slut City.
Not in Slut City.
Not in Slut City, says the entire chorus.
Leading on to the next musical number, Not in Slut City.
Everything happens once. It doesn't happen twice here in Slut City.
Just because
lightning strikes once, but never twice in Slut City.
If you think something might be up, well, it's not. You can trust it, you dumb slut. Because everything that happens here, it only happens once, and it happens once in here in Slut City.
The number kind of cuts to the solo of Guinevere, who goes, but this one thing, finding a rubber chicken from a deceased parent, could it? No. Could it have happened twice? in Slot City, and then that it kind of ends because they both found it, and it's the only it's like the thing that happened twice in Slot City.
And I like to think that Guinevere was like walking off to the side of the stage to deliver that to the audience, and then slowly, did we name the guy?
Never got his name.
Oh, shit.
Without getting his name.
Lancelot.
Oh, no.
I mean, of course it's Lancelot, but she doesn't know.
Yeah, she doesn't know.
Like, starts walking up as she's singing, and then Guinevere turns at that very last line, and you're both holding your chickens up to your chest, and your heads are incredibly close, like you could almost kiss. And then one of the choir members squeezes their rubber chicken, and it pulls you out of the moment.
Yeah,
naturally.
Perfect.
And we both run home.
This is a good musical, gang.
Slut City will be
sweeping
the nation.
Haley, I believe that's you.
Yeah.
So let me roll you a little. Let me roll you a number. 6. Prompt number 6. That's going to be a Mills prompt, isn't it? Oh, no. It's okay, good.
A live Angora rabbit.
What's an Angora rabbit?
Gang?
They're really the prompts. Little rabbits. Okay. This is a prop to me.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah, these guys look like idiots.
At the very least, this is a noun.
Oh, okay. Shots fired. I thought we were playing fun. I thought we were playing improv, silly haha fun game. I didn't realize this was Rule City. I thought it was Slut City.
You can't get on me. You can't get on me about props. I gave you a noun. Mills, this was rhyming.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Alive.
A rough start.
Precursoring it.
it's not a stuffed rabbit, it's alive, and it's walking around and it jumps.
All right,
I don't think my prompts get better, so I'm sorry.
I'm bracing myself for it. Haley, you start with your heist scene.
So I didn't think about how this could be potentially used in a heist or in a play. I just thought of a type of rabbit that I liked.
Good.
I wrote it down.
Great.
These things happen. What have we already figured out about our heist? We've got our getaway guy in place. We've got the security guys specifically distracted from the security cameras. We've got somebody staked out to let people in to, like, the balcony seats.
Hell yeah, brother.
Thanks, Otis.
Uh-huh.
Boy, do I know the steps of a heist? That's the next question here. What else you got to do before you can just go grab a guy's head?
We got to distract Statler and Waldorf.
We're going to have to, but that's got to be near the end.
That's got to be Act 2.
Right, because they're with his head.
Yeah.
So we don't want to give away the game too early.
Yeah.
We got so many scenes to cover.
Yeah. I think, you know what? I think there's room for there to be some setups for distractions. I think between security and getting up there, there's going to be a bunch more people around. There's like costume rooms. There's probably like a green room where like actors who aren't on stage are
We're going to need disguises too. So that way the people don't see us leaving with Lin-Manuel Miranda's head.
There you go. Yeah. We definitely need disguises.
Mm-hmm. So I guess then what we do is we try to make a distraction specifically for the like costumers.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are on hand to fix stuff, the people who are going to be in the costume room. And I feel like it's really not that hard to distract people when what you're trying to distract them with is a very good fluffy rabbit.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, it would work on me.
Yeah.
No, I feel like all that this person, Henrietta, has to do is set up a little rabbit hutch a little bit of ways away from the costuming room. Because the move is to run into the room, like brace in the doorway and go, guys, you're not going to believe what they brought into the theater. It's right down the hallway. There's a whole rabbit all by itself and it's friendly.
I think four different people with long cigarettes all... like, oh my god, a rabbit in the studio?
A rabbit?
He's got now this I have to ears. See.
Where did they get one of these rabbits?
Is it like a normal rabbit? Because I got those. What type of rabbit is it? Rabbit.
Yeah, I don't want to move if it's just a normal rabbit. I see a dozen of those.
As well. Not a
It's alive
rabbit.
As well?
There are so many dead Angora rabbits. All
in the great Angora rabbit massacre of 3008.
The rehabilitation efforts are working. They brought one here.
Oh my god.
Let's flip a coin. To see if we're excited.
No!
This
It was foolproof. I didn't do a good
Haley, how does this fail?
Yeah.
Well, does it fail because, like, did we decide not to see the rabbit,
probably.
Or did we just
probably they
bring
went
the rabbit
the
back?
Rabbit and all of these professionals were like, that is a really good rabbit. Thank you for showing me. And then they went back to work.
Yeah. They're like, wow.
That is a cool rabbit.
Yeah, that looks just like the dead Angora rabbit that lives next door.
Yeah. I don't want to bother it because the rehabilitation efforts, you know, so I'll actually leave it be.
Yeah.
And then I'll, yeah.
Well, what am I going to do with a rabbit? You know, we're in the middle of a show.
No, exactly. We have work to do.
Got to fix the hem on.
I have cigarettes to smoke.
Yeah, I've only eaten 6 cigarettes in the past hour.
Oh my God. Are you okay? That's not enough, babe.
You cutting
Things
down?
Things have been rough with Donnie.
Oh, again? You know, he's unemployable.
He's about to find his big break. I know it. He just doesn't like going to work, and he likes bad mouthing his bosses to their faces, and he yells at the customers. But it's just, I just know that the right place is just waiting out there for him.
And I hate to do the tough love thing with you again, but I just don't think it's ever going to happen. I think he's waiting for you to get your big break. And then he's going to ride your coattails right to the top. Like, what if this show gets to take control of the planet? And then you're the costume designer in chief. What happens then? Then he's just going to coast?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think? I say, looking toward
Henrietta,
the person
the
whose name I forgot.
Instantly invested.
Henrietta, the criminal.
You've
I think.
Gotta. Yeah, you've got to leave him, babe. That's
yeah, now
right.
We're just talking.
Oh, that is...
I mean, it's been 7 years,
Did you have a
though.
Ring? 7
no,
years?
I don't even
do you
know,
have a ring?
I don't even know who I am without him.
No.
He's saving for it.
I don't... See? I'm sorry. Your best friend tells you, and you it's peeps. It's nothing. But the rabbit person...
Well, you never liked Johnny, not even when we started dating. Oh, he had a job then.
Babe. Babe, he was repackaging used cigarettes. It was not glamorous.
Listen, it wasn't glamorous, but it paid the bills.
It's not.
Until he got shut down.
It's not costuming in chief. I'll tell you that right now.
Costuming in chief. You're going to fill my head with all these dreams.
You're sure.
And I'm just going to be, you don't mean. What about you? Henrietta, what are your dreams?
Yeah.
Dave, yeah. We fully pull you in, kick out a seat, and like pass you 4 cigarettes. And
always wanted to get out of this place someday. Just go real far away.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't we all?
You don't have any plans of, you know, sticking around for the new leadership? You want to get out of here?
I just feel like the leadership's not that stable. You know, anything could happen. We should all get out of here.
I get telling me. I say it every so often, but hey, do I ever go?
No. Nah. I'm always right here every goddamn day in this spot, keeping an eye on everything in this wardrobe room.
But you know what? Hey, do you got an eye for costumes?
I've never tried.
You got a brain for looks? Well, I think guess what? We got another hour and 26 minutes left. Why don't you stick with us? We'll teach you everything we know. And we adopt.
You've lost a...
And Rihanna is fully being precepted into the costume down. Department.
One of us.
So sorry, I quit.
Brother.
Oh, fuck, I gotta do something with this rabbit in the play now as well.
This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists: Greed by New Alchemist, The Shakedown by Dresden the Flamingo, Historique and Parmesan Crust by Sam Barsh, Won't Take Long by Dr. Delight, Thunder City by Lunaray, Sneaker Smeaker by Avocado Junkie, Liberty by The Cat's Pajamas, Forevermore by Reveille, and Sneaksters by Cast of Characters. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. Find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy.
Thank you so much for coming by and listening to the show, heroes. I hope you're enjoying Slut City and how definitely inspired by Chicago it is. If I could inspire you, though, to do one good thing today, it would be to venture out and support your local theater, whatever it may be. Go and see a show that's probably far better than Slut City, and in the meantime, patronize your local artists in a medium that is woefully and chronically underfunded. I cannot wait to share the last part of this weird little game with you next week. And if you do happen to pick up Scene Thieves and play it with your own friends, I absolutely want to hear about the play you concoct. I can talk about this game all day long every day, so trust me when I say I am ready for your stories. As always, thank you to the wonderfully generous people who support One Shot on Patreon. But if you want to support the show in a non-monetary way, it is as simple as just talking about the show. Tell your friends about the show, rate or leave a review, or tag us on socials and tell us your thoughts. For updates and One Shot news, please follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok at SuperDillin, that's SuperDillin, or check for updates on our website at oneshotpodcast.com. For information about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or a general comment, please message me at Dillin@oneshotpodcast.com. Again, that's Dillin. Finally, the music creeping up behind me is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cap Records. I can't wait to have you back for our next adventure, heroes.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.